And we are live on Facebook. I am Chris Graham, joined by Rod Mullins, and we're going to talk NASCAR news as we do every Wednesday. Rod, thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.
And hope you had a good weekend, a probably busy weekend watching NASCAR with two races at Michigan this weekend, a doubleheader, a twin bill, whatever you want to say. And Kevin Harvick comes out looking pretty good, had a big weekend. Take us through Michigan and Harvick's magical runs.
Well, it was a great weekend, I have to say that. I guess for a lot of the drivers out there, it probably wasn't that good of a weekend because Kevin Harvick dominated just about all together on the Saturday race and the Sunday race. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Sunday, he won all three stages, including, of course, the final of the race. So it's like you're wondering to yourself, what does a team have to do to be able to compete with Stewart Haas Racing and Penske Racing and Joe Gibbs Racing right now? There's still a lot of questions that's out there. Just when you think that Stewart Haas is kind of slacking back a little bit here, getting down toward the playoff stretch, Kevin Harvick comes up and takes two, and those are two big races right there. That's pretty much kind of eliminated a spot, so to speak, for somebody to win their way in to the championship. Now you're in the rest of the people that's out there are going to have to hope that something goes wrong between now and then. And then also they can race their way into the championship here toward the very end if they don't have any wins. But, Kevin Harvick was on top of his game. And I think I called it too at the last podcast. I said, he'd been very nice to Kevin Harvick before. But, the funny thing was Harvick had not won, at Michigan in such a way. And, hey, he went right out and he dominated is what he ended up doing.
So six wins on the season now for Harvick. Denny Hamlin was trying to chase him down at the end on Sunday. Hamlin has five wins. Those two guys are dominating the circuit right now.
Right.
Would it be a surprise to see anyone else sort of, as we're moving towards, we're a few weeks away from the playoffs, would it be a surprise to see anyone else inject themselves into that mix? Or is this going to be a 1-2 show as we roll through the playoffs all the way to the end?
I think this may be a 1-4 show before it's over with. And I'm going to include in that, I don't really want to rule out Brad Keselowski out of this right now. Brad Keselowski maybe doesn't have the wins that some of the others, Denny Hamlin or Kevin Harvick have right now. But Brad Keselowski and company, with the exception of the race that ended up putting Ryan Blaney and Brad Keselowski out this past weekend there at Michigan. I think Keselowski's got a good shot at it. I even think Ryan Blaney may have a chance to get there in the top. There's also, you got to throw in a wild card there of Joey Logano. Joey Logano could come up real lucky. Fall is really good for him sometimes, depending on how he's racing. Pretty much had a championship in the bag here a couple of years ago. Thought he was going to lose it there toward the very end, and then he ended up winning. So you've got a number of variables in there that's going to be decided upon. And I really think that somebody else may even play a factor into this. Chase Elliott still in there just yet. He's still in the top rankings, but he only has one win on the season so far, that one win. So I think right now it's going to be a 1-3 or 1-4 position, and I've really got to include Keselowski into that right now.
Now, on the other side, as we're looking, again, we're talking about the playoffs coming up here in a few weeks, who has still a lot of work to do to get themselves into the playoffs? And I'm sure Jimmy Johnson's in that mix, but maybe talk about a couple guys who have some work to do to get themselves into that mix.
William Byron's one that's got a lot of work to do right now in the next few weeks in order to get himself into this mix. You've got him. You've also got a couple of other. I'm going to name one that's right now working his tail off to try to get to the front. And I'm not doing this just because he needs the publicity right now. But, I really don't want to rule out Bubba Wallace making a run here toward the very end, because Bubba Wallace, the last time I looked, is somewhere around 20th in points. I think he's like a 123 out. But still, if he has a couple of good races and some of the front runners have some bad luck, that's possibility for him being able to get in the top 16. And I cannot leave the conversation without talking about Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch right now, I don't know what's going on at Joe Gibbs Racing. It seems like everything has kind of shifted over to Denny Hamlin. But, you know, I guess when you're a winner, that's what you're going to end up doing. Denny Hamlin right now has won five races out of this, and there's a big goose egg right beside of Kyle Busch's name. Zero races won this season. And you keep on wondering, what is he doing wrong? What's the team doing wrong? Well, folks, I'll give you a hint. If you've not been on YouTube lately and you don't listen to Radioactive, which is produced by NASCAR with some of the excerpts from the radio transmissions that go on during the race, you'll find out exactly the reason why Kyle Busch is not doing very well. I mean, he has literally, you know, ripped the team apart. And I'm going to tell you this, Chris, you know, from talking and we followed Virginia and Tony Bennett and the way Tony Bennett does basketball, it's a family thing. Joe Gibbs has family there. Joe Gibbs has a family atmosphere in that team. But Kyle Busch is that one little cog in that machine right now that's got a tooth missing. And every time he rolls back around to come up, there's something that just doesn't hit right. And then he goes immediately to blaming his team. It could be him. It could be his team. I don't know, but you don't ridicule, you don't put down your team, you don't rip your team to shreds and expect to come back and win a back-to-back championship. You know, that's what he's looking for this year, and I don't think he's going to come up with it.
Yeah, you need talent, but you need camaraderie as well in a team sport. You don't think of NASCAR as a team sport, but it very much is. Mm-hmm. interesting observations there, Rod. Hey, I just came across this factoid as I was when I was doing research earlier today. About Harvick's feat this weekend, winning back-to-back races, back-to-back days. Mm-hmm. It's not like NASCAR runs a lot of weekends where they do two cup races on a Saturday and Sunday, or in general on back-to-back days. But
right.
Harvick was the first driver since 1971 to win back-to-back cup races on consecutive days. That guy in 71, you can probably guess it was Richard Petty.
Right.
But wow, what a way to inject yourself into a factoid with Richard Petty. If you have to be alongside somebody in the history books, that's a pretty good one to be beside.
Well, you know, is he going to be as great as Richard Petty? Well, I don't know if we'll ever see 200 wins or anything out there, but if I can say one thing about him that has been over and over from the time Richard Childress signed him to replace Dale Earnhardt after Earnhardt was killed in the Daytona crash, it has been consistency. And, you know, I know he had a little bit of a fall off there at Richard Childress for a little while, but then when he left and when he went over to Stuart Haas, he just all of a sudden picked up. I mean, he picked up, he started racing, he started being able to do some things that, you know, a lot of people had hoped to see him do before. And so when that happened, you know, I was like, you know, this guy, you know, Kevin Harvick, you've got to really count him up there in the top with some of the others. And I think he's going to probably rank a little bit more consistent than some of the other drivers over the years. You know, your Darrell Waltrips, some of your others, David Pearson in there before it's over with. He won't replace him by any means, but I think he's going to set the standard for these new drivers that are going to be coming through in the next few years.
Four races until the playoffs, two at Daytona, two at Dover. We'll talk about Daytona coming up this weekend as we wrap up our podcast here. Wanted to get some news and notes in, though. And first, Ryan Newman, some news regarding a sponsorship deal for Ryan Newman's team. Talk about that.
Yeah, Ryan Newman had put, I think the name of the sponsor is like Guaranteed Loan or something like that, and I think that's who – he has picked up now. They ran a couple of races, and I think they were pretty much interested in staying with the team here for the rest of the season. And so Guaranteed Rate, I'm sorry, I said Guaranteed Loan, but Guaranteed Rate, they're going to be in there, and they're going to be sponsoring Ryan Newman for the second half of the season, at least 12 races the way it looks right now. And right now is silly season, and I've put that a couple of, I guess, in some posts that I've sent to AFP here over the past couple of weeks. You know, Erik Jones, let's talk about Erik Jones here for just a quick second. Sure. Erik Jones unceremoniously is just removed as the driver for Joe Gibbs Racing. And I thought Erik Jones has had a good career. He's had a good time while he's been at Joe Gibbs Racing. But, you know, you got one of those youngsters that's coming up, and that's Christopher Bell. And Christopher Bell is looking really good. Erik Jones, maybe not looking as well as he did maybe years ago when he first came up the ranks, but it's opened the door up. But it also kind of tells you the way that the business sense is in NASCAR right now, that there are some teams that put it all on the line, and then they tell you right up front if you're not doing a good enough job. Erik Jones had to find out, sort of, I guess he was blindsided, broadsided, however you want to call it. He was surprised by this. And so Erik Jones is going to be looking for a new ride, new sponsor. I kind of had to poke a little bit of fun about the tweet that Erik Jones had put up the other night, and that was a brand new Toyota Tacoma pickup truck, full size. I think it was an extended cab truck. And I sent a little note, and I don't know if I'll ever get an answer from it or not, but I'm like, you know, enjoy it right now. You should get some good resale value out of it if you have to trade it in for a Ford or a Chevy. So if he has to do that for the season, he's going to be saying bye-bye to the Toyota. And, you know, rumor has it right now in some circles, Hendrick may be looking at him right now. Now that Keselowski is off the market, so to speak, Erik Jones, they may be wanting to get that young gun and young movement going at Hendrick Motorsports a little bit more and try to see if they can't keep Alex Bowman around. And, of course, they've got Chase Elliott in for a while, but they would love to be able to do that and keep those three together.
Some more off the track news. We talked last week about one of the long-term racing groups, Levine Family Racing, closing his team at the end of the season. Spire Motorsports announcing some news related to that. Talk about Spire and what it's got in the works.
Spire Motorsports is one of those teams that kind of has been here, you know, kind of fade away for a little bit. They don't have enough sponsorship, but then they come back in, and this is one of those things that will at least guarantee them at least a position or at least a place in NASCAR coming up next year when the charter and everything else comes up. It grants them some some elbow room to be able to move around a little bit, and hopefully it'll get them some sponsorship, what they need for that that 95 car or whatever the car will be when they switch over. I know the big question right now is this: where are some of these drivers going to end up? But more importantly, where is another Toyota team, or at least a Toyota sanctioned team, being provided, research and development, motorsports money, where it's going to materialize? Right now, it seems like Joe Gibbs Racing is getting the majority of that, and they kind of share it a little bit with some of the smaller teams that they have an alliance with. But now Toyota is getting faced with a situation here. What are they going to do? Are they going to try to open it up and see if they can get somebody else out there that's interested? Who knows? Well, that's one of the things we're going to be waiting to find out. Chevy is looking for people. Ford is looking for people. And we still haven't gotten to the point yet of where we're ready to announce if there's going to be any more entries into the NASCAR world of some of the other car makes. I mean, you have Nissan that's out there. You have Honda. And I know there's some of the NASCAR purists that's already been so upset this year with the way that things have been. Imagine a little bit more of how it's going to be not seeing that rebel flag, but seeing a Nissan or a Honda out on the track. There's going to be some people, it's going to be very reserved about this, but you know, it's a sign of the times. It's the way things change.
So now let's put our attention back on the track and this weekend, Daytona. Now, if we're on the road, right? The road course at Daytona. Yeah. So take us there. Tell us about the race and some thoughts about, who some of the favorites might be.
Well, if you've ever watched the Rolex race that they have at Daytona that's prior to the Daytona 500, that's really pretty much the inner part of the road course is what they have. It's a little bit more of an adventurous road course than it is at Charlotte at the Roval. But this one, I think once it gets stretched out, if you really stretch out and looked at it, it's almost like 3 miles or a little over 3 miles is what it's going to be. I think it's going to be something like 231 laps. Or miles altogether, not the laps, but the miles, but it's something like 65 laps. And so they will break it down into a 15 lap segment, another 15 lap segment, and then a 35 lap segment that will close things out for the race that'll be coming up. This race is going to be the one that replaces the Watkins Glen road course race because New York is not able to go and secure anything right now, at least for the possibility of having a race there for spectators and so forth, even though they are opening up a little bit more. Daytona just went ahead and took this on since Watkins Glen is a part of International Speedway Corporation. They decided to bring it on down there and let them have it at Daytona. Charlotte is helping them out a little bit. I think I read from one of the guys that's the vice president of operations there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. The Turtles are being borrowed this weekend by Charlotte, from Charlotte down to Daytona. So they're going to be using some stuff there to be able to have this race. And it also shows a little bit of the camaraderie between the tracks too.
So who do you think might compete well this weekend, especially among the top contenders? But, who has a history on these road courses, and what can we look for from the race this weekend?
Your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea. Well, the way things are, I mean, they haven't tested. They don't know. They don't know how this thing is going to pan out. One driver that I do know that he has done well on this track, and he's raced well before. Well, I can say probably a handful of some of the drivers. Jimmy Johnson has raced on this track before, because he's also raced in, I think, one of the Rolex cars, or one of the sport cars, the IMSA cars that they've had down there at the track. Ryan Newman's another one. Ryan Newman has talked about it. Chase Elliott has been a little bit on the side of it's going to be a learning experience. Well, he'd better quickly learn, because you know what happened to him last fall when he made the miscalculation, so to speak. He ends up slamming the wall, but he ends up coming back and winning the race. So he's going to be learning really quickly. A lot of these drivers, Clint Bowyer likes a road course as well. A lot of these drivers, they love the road courses. Whereas years ago, back in the old days, you had some of these drivers that were like, I see no need for a road course. Plow the thing up and make it into a winery, or make it into something else, because we don't have any need for road courses. But I think road courses are an ultimate test for a driver, for their ability, because, hey, if you caught some of the Road America race this past weekend there in Milwaukee, there pretty close to where the race was going on in Michigan, it rained. I finally had a chance to see wet road tires, windshield wipers on these cars in the Xfinity race. I thought it looked cool, and I'd like to see it in a NASCAR race, in a cup race eventually. We've not seen it yet. They've always mounted them and had them ready, but these guys were driving all over the place on Saturday in the Xfinity race.
Well, we're ready for the weekend. As I mentioned, four races to go before the playoffs, so a lot of bumping and grinding out there as both the guys at the top jockeying for position among the safe spots, but then also, yeah, those drivers between 12 and 20 and maybe a couple below that looking to solidify their place in a possible playoff berth. Well, Rod, thank you for walking us through this, and we'll get you back on next week.
All right, appreciate it. And let's not forget, too, we're still watching and finding out right now where Bubba Wallace is going to end up next year. Will he be back at Richard Petty Motorsports and a kind of a part ownership deal, or will he be with Chip Ganassi? So that much is still open right now. He was racing for the deal this past weekend, did decent, but finished ninth on Saturday, finished 21st, I believe, on Sunday. But yeah, we're still waiting to find out what that's going to be, and a bunch of other things going on. But hey, we've just barely scratched the surface here on Silly Season.
Silly season is normally something we talk about when we're trying to keep the podcast going in the slow months. But here we are with playoffs on the verge, uh-huh. And silly season is already here. So yeah. We'll have to keep on top of all these stories and more. So, well, once again, Rod, thank you for your time, and we'll get you back on here next week.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.